What is going on, everybody? Welcome into the Tuesday Track Talk podcast, episode number 50. It's been a long time coming since the Three Stones pit crew have all been together, but I am your gas man, Cam.
I'm your jack man, Kellen.
I'm your tire changer, Cam.
And as I mentioned, it's been a bit since we've had the Three Stones pit crew together, but nonetheless, here we are. Just wrapping up year one on the channel and the podcast. We got another loaded episode for you. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the Three Stones pit crew chatting about some racing. So before we get into it, as we always do, what's going on, boys?
We're back.
It's been a hectic few weeks for all of us, I feel.
Yeah, from travel to people moving houses to what else is going on? I feel like it's just been a whirlwind.
First guest?
Yep.
Our first guest finally. Yep.
Checked that one off the list. That was fun. I had a blast doing that. That was great.
Yeah.
I got to tune into the last little bit of it with Race and Jason as I was driving back from Sands on Monday, and yeah, it sounded like you guys had a blast. I enjoyed it. Got a definitely had a few laughs out of that conversation. So
yeah, it was to be honest, that was a little bit off the cuff for us. I mean, we had the guest on and had old Race and Jason on there, and we just chat about some good old dirt racing. And like Calvin said, had a ton of fun doing that, and I would foresee us maybe even welcoming him on again as we get into some bigger dirt races. And hopefully for the rest of us for the rest of the year, trying to bring on some more future guests as we continue to try to figure this whole podcast, YouTube channel, whatever you want to call it, look to try to bring on some more guests. So yeah, that was a ton of fun. And yeah, really enjoyed that. So, well, it's been a while since we've had the Three Stones together. So let's burn it down. Let's get right into some racing. So we've had some action-packed racing, to say the least, over this last weekend and last few weeks. But this, I feel like, is the best time of year, but just with NASCAR playoffs starting, football season, it's just the weather's starting to change, fall weather, fantastic time of year. Racing is, we're on the home stretch, so racing's definitely ramping up, a lot of elbows up racing, so we got a lot to chat about. So let's get right into it, and we're not going to mess around with any short race previews or recaps. We're getting right into it. We're going with the fun facts. So I'll kick it off to one of the pit crew members here, and you guys can, one of you guys can take the first fun fact.
As the charter development in the Cup Series has been a conversation, 2311 has come out and said that they did not sign the charter agreement. They didn't care for it. They didn't like it, however you want to phrase it. There were two teams that allegedly did not sign it. 2311 confirmed it. The other suspected, not confirmed but suspected, was Front Row.
One of the odd things with that is there are two teams that are rumored. Well, one team rumored, one team confirmed to go to three cars.
Yeah, Front Row bought a charter.
Correct. Correct.
There's a bullet point. There's a bullet point we're going to visit later down this column that I have an inkling now that I'm thinking about it.
And again, like we go back to Trackhouse. That's the other thing that we kind of forgot about. SVG signed with Trackhouse here as of recent. Has been signed with Trackhouse, going full time to Cup racing next year. Marks didn't come out exactly to say that he bought a charter. It was implied.
Correct.
Alleged. But never explicitly came out and said that we have bought a charter.
Yep.
That didn't go into details of how much or who they bought it from. Obviously, it was probably Stuart Haas, but never went into the transaction details of it. So,
He
and the
just
sad part
said,
is that this kind of overshadowed the opening of the playoffs.
correct. It kind of was, everyone was going, well, what's going on with the charter deal when we really had to go to race in Atlanta?
Yeah.
So correct me if I'm wrong, RFK did the deal, and starting next year, they're going to have a third car.
No, they have
Not
not
yet.
done anything.
Not yet. Well, I shouldn't say not yet. The third, there's one charter left out there for somebody to get their fingers on.
That we know of.
Correct. From Stewart Haas.
Correct. Yep. Unless somebody is just clear in the bank, but.
It was, I think Bob Pagaris shared a video of, it was Brad Keselowski, and they asked him right away about the charter situation, if they did the deal on a third car for next year, and Brad said not yet. So
I mean, I don't think it's a secret that they've been shopping around by any means.
he was one of the first ones that, when they came out and said, like, that this was going to happen, he was one of the first ones, I feel like, bowed out and said, we don't have $20 or $30 million to do it.
Absolutely.
But maybe he's playing a little mind game with everybody. Who knows?
You see, he may be holding his cards a little closer to his chest than what he likes to put out.
Well, and the other thing too is that Keselowski is a very operations side of things. He deals with the day-to-day racing stuff. Whereas Steve Newmark, I had to look the name up, the president, he is more of the business side of things. And he's even come out and said that, I forget the wording exactly, but he's talked about the charter as well. So Keselowski's more, and rightfully so, he's more worried about the playoff run right now.
As it should be.
For sure. Don't know. Lots of lot. There's a lot to be unpacked yet.
Yeah, and like you guys said too, not the unfortunate part, but I will say I felt like all the social medias that I was following, Pockrass, Bianchi, or however you say it, all the NASCAR reporters, like on X. I mean, damn, all weekend it felt like it was just charter, 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 charter. That was just, it was like, it'll shake itself out. But hey, we do have a very important race coming up here. But
And the fact that there are this many questions, 10 races to go, 9 races to go in the NASCAR season.
yeah, we're not exactly week one here. We're 27. Well, as we said today, we're 27 races into this deal.
Figured we'd
With,
have our buttons, all of our stuff lined up, ready to go.
yeah,
Given this
correct.
has been an ongoing discussion all year as well, so it's not through
Right.
the lack of effort.
Yeah.
So,
Don't know.
I guess we'll just sit tight. We'll hang tight on that. We'll keep following the situation again. Be careful what you read on social media. Make sure the source is credible. But there's a lot of smoke around the charter situation, and I think it's going to just continue to smoke, and just continue to follow the development. So stay tuned on that. I guess I'll hop right into this next one. A couple announcements in the Xfinity series. And again, these were kind of rumored, and the way the dominoes were falling, you could kind of start piecing them together. But Christian Eckes announces he's going full time next year with Colleague, and Brandon Jones is out at Junior Motorsports, and he's going back to JGR. So back to a little familiar territory for Jones. And Christian Eckes makes the jump from the BMR 19, who's had a lot of success in that truck, and looks to make that move up to the Xfinity series. So two moves that we were kind of, you could kind of connect the dots there, the way the dominoes were falling with rides being announced in the Xfinity series. But Yeah, those are going to be two interesting moves to see how they play out next year, to say the least.
I think the Ekos one was the heavily rumored and finally true confirmed one that everybody had, but the Jones one threw me off. Definitely threw. Not one that he left Jade or Junior, but then two he went back to Joe Gibbs.
Yeah, so he was solid at Joe Gibbs though.
He had a couple wins.
Yeah, and again, we talk about what Junior's got going on with his Xfinity program, and again, I don't want to call him out, but I just don't feel like he ever quite found his footing with Junior.
He had a rough leaving with Joe Gibbs as well, because that was the, if you could remember back a handful of years ago, that was when Gibbs took Brandon out at Martinsville and he had a few choice words to say
Racing for a spot in the final four.
as teammates when Gibbs was locked in. So back in the same organization, them two are.
It's interesting. I do have to say, it is a kind of interesting college pulls two BMR guys.
Yeah.
Dan Dye and Christian Eckes pulling them both from the same truck program. So, it's, I don't know if that has any bearing on it whatsoever, but
Maybe an alliance that we don't know about.
Daniel Dye and Christian Eckes.
Oh, die. Sorry, I thought you said Ankrum, and I was like, whoa, I missed that. No.
No, Dye. Dye and
Yeah.
Eckes. Yeah.
The whole die situation, I don't want to get into that, but that seems to be a little bit of a head scratcher for me, to be honest with you.
Was it Chris Rice or Matt Colic? One of the two came out and said that they are not going to bother Eckes with any money conversation. They will deal with that when his truck season is over. They said they'll have a beer over it and figure it out.
What? Come on. So if that's the way we're going to approach this situation, why are we not putting Kraus in that seat?
I'm just telling you that's what I read. I'm 99% certain it was Chris Rice. Let me take a look.
While you're taking a look, I'll hop on this next one here real quick. Dipping into a little bit of the local talent here with a little bit of truck series as well. Justin Mondyke, super late model racer up here in the Midwest, is getting two truck races with Young's Motorsports. He'll be racing at Bristol and Kansas later this year. I think rumors kind of started to fly when he was spotted on pit road at the Milwaukee Mile truck race. And then obviously this has come to fruition from here as well. So always cool to see local guys get their shot at the big time.
Yeah, I want to say too, again, super cool for a guy that, Midwest guy, running his own car, getting a shot like this. But just kind of an interesting turn of events. He's a Ford guy and was on pit road with Thor Sport and Crafton at Milwaukee. Now he goes to Young's, which aren't they a Chevy team?
Yes, sir.
So, kind of interesting, but who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe the
We've had a
manufacturer.
lot of this. I was gonna say we've had a lot of discussion about manufacturer alliances here recently, so
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's hard to read into that. I mean, I feel like the super late world might be a little different.
I was gonna say, maybe a
Also
different
depends on what
conversation.
you're running for a power plant.
And I think it's a is if you've got the like Majeski, for example, he's got the NASCAR truck deal. He's a Ford truck driver. He's got a Ford super late. Whereas Mondyke, it's a trial run. He's not committed, for lack of a better term, to
Yeah,
anybody.
the only other thing about it is having Toby be a part of that crew, you might as well be a Ford. When you want
Yeah.
to talk about setups and all that other stuff, you might as well just make everything else the same and be quote unquote teammates.
Well, and I mean, look at like I know Harvick. He said whenever anybody comes in, he's not going to worry about alliances. He'll just swap out the bumper on the car.
Correct.
He's got the same power plant. Didn't see what power plant it was, but he just said, I'll just swap the front bumpers out.
That's the least of the problem when you're talking about somebody bringing money with them.
Yeah.
Hello, five star.
Yeah.
But
Either
yeah,
way, cool deal
I
for a
don't know.
local guy that we know, and
Yep.
the
Yeah.
model deal. Hopefully, has two solid runs there and two awesome tracks for him. Bristol, obviously, is
Bristol's gonna be tough.
Bristol's going to be
That's
tough,
a
but then
hell of
you
a first race to get into.
correct, and then you throw in go into Kansas. Kansas is again produces awesome racing. You got three wide racing at that track, so he's in for two unique challenges, but definitely awesome races. So it'll be fun to watch him do that. But hopping into the next one here, a little bit of sponsorship news here. Jack Links comes on as the premier partner with NASCAR for 2025. So Jack Links is coming on board, and us NASCAR fans are gonna feed your wild side. So kind of a cool deal for Jack Links to come on board with NASCAR and be the premier sponsor for 2025. So looking forward to that for next year.
Who wants this next one?
I'll take the one afterwards.
Okay. Well, there's kind of there's been how do you see
Just
this one?
skip it, dude. If you got two
There
hands
aren't
on
happy owners in the garage area about the charter deal. Let's just
there's
say
an
that.
unhappy owner in the garage area who seems to have made some comments about the ruling, the held ruling of the Austin Dillon penalty. Follow me here. That same individual has also made a comment about the NAS organization of NASCAR in itself, and he compared it to a regime that is shouldn't be mentioned. We'll leave it at that. He's not happy.
It's not good.
New. I'm going to jump down here a little bit. Staying at the Cup Series. Cole Pearn announces that, or it is announced that Cole Pearn will crew chief for MTJ in the Daytona 500 in 2025. So,
That's cool. Truex said he wanted to race the 500 next year. He's got his crew chief lined up. I'm sure Johnny Morris is going to stick with him and at least sponsor the race with the Bass Pro. You figure it's probably going to be that 2311, that 50 car
yep.
with the Gibbs backing. I mean, everything's pretty much lined up at this point.
Yeah, it's not an official announcement, and I would expect that to come in the off season.
Yep, 100%.
Again, another guy that's in the thick of a playoff battle, so he's got his hands in that. So I'm gonna assume that most of the details are ironed out. He just is gonna wait. It's settled. I would say it's settled. He's just gonna wait till after the season to make his announcement. So yeah, MTJ back in 2025.
Jumping to IndyCar here in a little bit. Oh, by the way, had an amazing time at the IndyCar race at Milwaukee. Blast. Glad they're coming back. Hope I get to go again next year. Chip Ganassi has announced that they are gonna shrink their team, not necessarily shrink, but they're gonna reallocate the resources. They're gonna go from five full-time and IndyCar teams to three, and then they're gonna send those two teams all the resources, all the staffing, whatever, to that IndyCar next team. basically IndyCar's Xfinity series, if you want to compare it to the Cup series. So no jobs are lost, allocations sent elsewhere, keeps the feeder series strong. Overall, great move.
Yeah, it'd be a good opportunity to develop some talent as well.
Yep, absolutely.
For
And
sure. Get your three horses a little bit stronger too.
Yep.
Sometimes, it's a tough move to make, but you also sometimes when you got your wings spread too far apart, you're good at everything but not great at anything. So hopefully, going down to three cars will allow them to Little
get.
addition by subtraction, a little bit, kind of.
Yep.
Go
Bingo.
some.
Yep.
Then the last fun fact here.
There's a lot of smoke here about the 48 car at Hendrick Motorsports and the driver. Things on the old X app just continued to pop up that it was Bowman to seven, Bowman to seven, and he must have been on X too because it got to the point where he picked up the phone and called Rick or somebody high up and said, "So what's the scoop? Am I out of the seat or not?" Or whatever. Basically got to the bottom of it and said, as far as he knows, he's in that seat next year, and that's his expectation.
That was also confirmed by Jeff Gordon as well, that he was one that he had mentioned he had talked to as well. And Gordon said, "Yeah, you're good."
And
So.
I don't know. We'll see.
That's another one of those that it's, playoff media day. Everybody comes in, they're talking about their playoff runs and what their expectations are and things they need to do. And then everybody's hounded on Bowman. Are you gonna ride? Are you gonna ride? He doesn't even get to talk about his playoff expectations when everybody's talking to him about are you gonna ride?
For sure.
It's a shame. He doesn't deserve it.
No, it overcasted his entire day that he's got to address the rumors that somebody was poking at him, and it got to a point where he had to address it on a day that was really about putting together a postseason to try to win a championship.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. Not good for him with that media day, but it is also good to know that he has a job.
Was gonna say too,
Twofold.
yeah, twofold. He can picked up the phone, got his answer, and now it's full steam ahead, focus on the most important part, and he followed it up with a good run at Atlanta. So yeah, like you said, now for him it's job security, and hopefully he can, make a deep run here in the playoffs, and he knows he's in the ride next year, and just keep building. So,
For sure.
anyways, well, that was I don't know if I said 5 minutes of fun facts or fast facts, whatever. That segment's been a moving target with the title, but if it was 5 minutes, it's five times four. We did 20 minutes there, but let's get into some racing here. We've had some big races. We've had some boots on the ground, and we've had some big races since the last time we all were together. But talking about a big race here this last weekend in the dirt scene, the 54th World 100 at Eldora. Record-setting crowd at Eldora this past weekend. I think you could anticipate that with the Blomqvist Memorial and the stuff that they were going to do for him. Again, not under great circumstances, but I think we could all anticipate that it was going to be a record-breaking crowd. So, record-breaking crowd at Eldora. And if you haven't seen it, the night started off with, again, a super cool moment, but again, not a cool moment that, it sucks that it's a cool moment under the circumstances we had. We had a nice little drone show, put on a fantastic drone show and World 100 and Bloomer's logo and all that. And then not only that, but had his daughter in Bloomer wrapped, a Blomqvist wrapped late model, Tony Stewart driving it, and her in the passenger seat, two seater, wearing his helmet. So, yeah, it is one of those moments that is just brings everybody together in the racing community. Standing ovation, everybody on their feet,
And
just bring everybody together.
hats off to the Eldora crew, the Eldora track team, organization, all of the people in there that made that whole deal exactly what it needed to be. And the reality of it is, let's be honest, he'd want them to run anyways. He'd want the racing to go on just as if he'd have been there. So for them to take the moment to recognize him and all the things that he had accomplished and just take a moment to put that out there and how professionally well done it was, again, given the circumstances. That's a round of applause to the Eldora crew for that one. That was tip of the cap, best of the best. So,
A fitting send-off.
yep. Absolutely.
You know, I would not be one bit surprised to us thinking about this as all this was going on, is it won't be long before we have a race memorial in his name.
Oh, yeah.
In
At Eldora.
at Eldora, you know, whether it's a preview night, you know, the Blomqvist 50 or something like that, where he will have, it won't be long, and he will have, with the impact he made on the dirt racing community and, you know, his accomplishments, his legacy will live on forever, through his Team Zero cars, and there will be,
His Team Zero race car has almost got it done too.
yeah. Yeah, again, really touching, emotional start to the night for the World 100. But again, it was super cool. Everything they did was, you know, unique and meaningful. And like you guys said, did Scott Blomqvist right. So started off the night cool. And then we got right into, we're going to skip the preview, the previews, the couple nights of racing beforehand, but we're going to jump right into the Saturday show, and we're going to jump right into some notables to not make the show. And before we even get into it, I'm going to pat myself on the back, because if you didn't listen to last week's episode, we asked Race and Jason who we thought was going to be a big name not to make the show. And drum roll, please. Kellen, who did I say would not make the show?
Turbo.
Turbo. And unfortunately, we had some notables that were not, did not make the show. You can start it off with Tyler Erb, go right down to Tyler Carpenter, Jason Fager, Dennis Erb, Spencer Hughes, Shan Babb, and another well-known YouTube channel, Hunt the Fronts, Joseph Joyner. All notables that did not make the show. So,
Well, the reality of the situation is when you got 108 cars show up for an event and you can only start, what, 24 or 30 of them?
good cars are
That's
going to go home.
there's 75 cars that are packing it up. So,
Hey, thanks for showing up.
yeah, you had a couple nights to try to get it right. Unfortunately, it's just you got to hit it right on the right night.
Your room for areas.
Yeah, all of that. Yeah, for sure.
But you know, you talk about too, and then you know, you look at some of these guys who had solid runs in the pre, you know, in the shows leading up to it, Thursday, Friday night. You know, you're looking at Joseph Joyner and the Hunt the Front crew, who finished fourth on Friday night and starts on the front row of a B main, and they said they made a some big adjustments before the B main and completely missed it. And he starts on the front row and of a B main and drops her to 12th before tearing up the whole left side. So it, you know, again,
That place will chew you up and spit you out in a hurry.
correct. And like you said, when you got 108 cars and you're only racing for 24 spots,
Gets tough
it's
in
gonna
a
be
hurry.
some good, yeah, there's gonna be some good cars that go home. But not only that, but we get right into the race, and on lap one, I will say one of the coolest paint schemes with again another Scott Blomqvist tribute, Nick Hoffman, who was rolling smoke on lap one, but continued to hammer down. And it was not too long after that, on lap three, he was the first caution when he was off the pace, and he pulls it in and had power steering line go out. So tough break for Hoffman.
Never even had a chance.
Tough handful of weeks.
Yeah, for sure.
We'll say one thing that wasn't tough though is that paint scheme. That paint scheme was
Bad to the bone.
They auctioned off that door, one of the doors on there too, for $1,800 is what it went for.
Yeah, for sure. Cool. That was a sweet looking race car.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. So that was the first caution. And then we really got into, after that, we got into some long green flag runs there. Bobby Pierce and Dale McDowell kind of shoot off, get out to an early lead. Jonathan Davenport was a little lurking a little bit. And again, when it comes to Eldora and you want to talk about a race winner, there's one guy that should be on your mind, and it's Jonathan Davenport. And it takes him about 38 laps, and he grabs the lead and takes the lead. And he was just boot scooting and boogieing right around the bottom of the track, as he always does. And he led probably, I want to say, 20 or so laps. And then, in typical fashion, what happens? He had built a 3 second lead, and he starts getting to lap traffic. And Bobby Pierce does what Bobby Pierce does. And when there's 6 inches of cushion, he'll find it. And that's what he did. And he just starts ripping the top, and he starts coming in a combination of that and Jonathan Davenport trying to get through lap traffic. Bobby Pierce got around him, and
Old boy went to the top early.
Mm-hmm.
Like early. And I didn't know if that right rear was going to make it the distance, but
Damn near didn't.
he put her up top and he was going to let her eat up there. And that was what it was going to be. He pretty much made his bet up there.
Yeah, and it was, you know, there was really a three car, it was kind of a three car breakaway there for racing for the top spot. It was Pierce, McDowell, and Davenport. And they were all running different lines. Davenport with his signature right around the bottom, right around the inside wall. McDowell was in no man's land, what appeared to be just right across, right through the middle. And then you had Bobby Pierce, who does what he usually does, and that's live and die on the top side, just ripping the top. So, and they're all making it work for themselves. So, again, it was a fantastic track for those guys to put on a show. But, yeah, we went green flag there for a while. Bobby Pierce got the lead, grabbed the lead from Jonathan Davenport. McDowell slowly was reeling Jonathan Davenport in. Got into some lap traffic, and McDowell was trying to get to Pierce, was reeling him in, was getting there, and every
He
time he got there, it was just you just
stalled
Bobby
out.
Pierce, you just stalled out, yeah. And
I think with like 9 to go, 8 to go, he got by him and scored himself a few lead laps, but he got caught in lap traffic there just late, and Bobby Pierce just rolled the top. And it we knew they even said in the broadcast, you know, McDowell wasn't going to go to the top. That's just
He
not
refused to go to the
him.
top.
That's not what he does. That's not him at Eldora. He wasn't going to do it. And he made his bet in the middle where he felt his car was best. It just, unfortunately for him, and he's been trying and trying and trying to get one, it just wasn't enough.
And
And
he kind of made it, like you said, he made his own bed running the middle. Lappers are running that same line. They're running the bottom because they expect the leaders to run that curb up on the top. And it just bit them.
I forget what brought the. There was a late race caution. I forget who brought it out, but there was a late race caution there with a few laps left. I forget how many, but it was Bobby Pierce and Jonathan Davenport on the front row, and Bobby Pierce, Jonathan threw it up on the top side. JD put it up on the top side, and Bobby knew he couldn't give him that top side. He ended up sliding him and basically chopping his nose, and Jonathan Davenport could have stood on the gas and smashed some stuff up, but he got on the brakes and let Pierce get by him, and then ended up letting McDowell get by him, and those three kind of took off from there. But that cushion was about 6 inches wide, and you're tiptoeing around that thing. And you know, Bobby Pierce is almost like he was doing some iRacing stuff, you know, where you can like bang the right rear off the wall and actually pick up some speed. It
Yep.
was they were those guys were just right around the top, and you're like, is his right rear going to hang on for how much longer can it? I mean, it was right up until one lap to go. He was white flag. He was still smashing that thing on the top. It's like, geez, buddy, you got the lead. You know,
Yeah, for real.
you don't have to bang it off the top off the wall. But
What is going on back there? Oh my God.
bro,
You
can't
mind?
even put a shirt on to have the decency. Come on, man.
But yeah, Bobby Pierce was he was wicked quick.
For sure.
And Kellen, you and I were texting, and he said, Bobby Pierce, don't let him win it. And I said, when he's starting third in a race like this, you know he's going to be a problem.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, really, he
So
put her up on the top, and that was pretty much it. I mean, your top 10, Pierce, McDowell, Davenport, MacCready, Moran, Corey Hedgecock, Garrett Albertson, Garrett Smith, Ryan Gustin, Shane Clanton. So quite a mix. They said they had six different chassis in the top 10.
which is good, especially with the chassis discussion that we've had with the super lights here recently. And you guys had that discussion too with Race and Jason. Seeing oh, what the hell is the word I'm looking for?
Diversity.
Diversity of chassis is good.
Well, and the thing about that is, you know, talk about next year, if somebody's going to make a chassis change, they can know that they can have somebody like Corey Hedgecock, who runs BMF, they can call him and get some advice that you go to a race like that for the dream or the world. You're going to at least be in the ballpark.
That was a BMF car too,
Correct,
to
it,
be running
for
the way that
sure.
we
And
did.
that's you look at the list, and obviously your Longhorns are going to be there. McDowell in a Team Zero, MacCready in the one, the XR 1.2, Hedgecock in the BMF, Gustin in the Infinity, and then you got Clanton in a Capital. You want it, you got it. You know that working with those and Clanton having a big hand, obviously in Capital now with the joiners and that de facto house-ish car with their announcement, that he's got a piece that he can go there with and say he can be good on a long run race like that as well. So yeah, good to see you. Good
I
race.
think, yeah, awesome race. Like you guys said, we talked about it a little bit last week with Race and Jason. You know, it's awesome that we are starting to get this because I felt like for the last year and a half, if you weren't a Longhorn, you weren't winning. And I guess you can make the exception. It was you're a Longhorn or you were Hudson O'Neill. And that was, you know, what felt like was winning, but it's great for everybody. Again, it just makes the racing better, gives guys a lot of options, and gives people jobs too. So good to see the diversity in the chassis, and hopefully we continue to see, you know, a little bit more shakeup. It'd be even more fun to see some of these bigger names, you know, branch off and, you know, go outside of a Longhorn and see what they can do. So I don't know if we mentioned it, but or I did kind of earlier, but again, that was the largest crowd ever for the World 100. So big deal. And again, probably expected with the Scott Blomquist Memorial and just with that track and that event puts on. You pair those two together and you should expect nothing less. So, any other final thoughts on the World 100?
No, rock solid.
Good race.
Yeah. All right. Think that wraps up our dirt racing for this week. So, if you're on dirt and you're ripping the cushion, you can get off the cushion and head to your local asphalt track. So we're going to change gears here, and we're going to go to, I think this race was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, it would have been 2 weekends ago.
2 weekends ago, where we had some boots on the ground here. Big race up in the Midwest. We had the Jim Sauter Classic 200 at Dells Raceway Park. We had boots on the ground here. So I'll kick it to you guys and let you guys – well, before I do, first bullet point, you just love seeing this. Krauss led a good chunk of laps early. So love that. Love seeing bullet points like that. But I'll kick it to you guys, and you guys can give a little recap and talk about what you guys saw at the Jim Sauter Classic.
I feel like I'm going to start here. Midwest Truck Series, Brent Rickenberger picks up the summer shootout for an additional $700, gets the tire test, comes back on point. So
And wins.
Yep. So that was big for that to come back and have that. And they said, yeah, go ahead and take it. We don't care. We're good. Side note, it was super weird seeing the top roll really hard. That second groove. We're not used to seeing that with the Dells where they sprayed it again. But Brandon started fairly deep, but he just rolled the top, and the top had the momentum. And he found his way to fourth, I believe he finished.
Yes.
But it was super weird seeing the top carry momentum like that, because we probably haven't seen that in a long time at the Dells.
I think the outside gets a little bit better each time they race there. It gets worn in more and more, and that lane's coming in.
Yeah, so cool deal. He picks up the summer shootout money along with maintaining his championship lead as well. So they have two races left on their schedule, Jefferson and then Oktoberfest. So sitting in a good spot for those guys.
Three. They go back to the Dells, I believe, for Halloween.
Mm. Got it. So, yeah, he's a winner at Jefferson already, so feel good about that. All right, Midwest Tour.
Big invert. Big invert, and that put some guys in the middle of the back of the pack, and it hurt a few of them guys.
That would be a couple of our favorites that we're going to be competitors for that feature.
You know, we kind of had we were kind of following up with what happened at Madison and the big tire discussion, excuse me, that came off of that.
Yep.
You saw a little bit of it, but not to that big extent. But again, it those guys that were back in that field, it was tough.
Yeah, it's tough to pass. And it's really tough to pass early in the race when you get a couple that get turned around and then you get some damage early.
Yep. Majeski and Fenhouse.
Early, both of them got
talking about two hammers.
Yep.
Yeah, Majeski had a lot. I think they were debating on even parking it.
Yeah, he didn't get tore up, but he got roughed up enough that that car just wasn't right.
Nope.
And Fenhouse, kind of the same.
He got away with it, but he had to work his way back.
But again, what it comes back to is the track position was the name of the game. Well, when you head to the back and pass, and it's kind of hard to come by, you find yourself deep.
Yeah.
So, you know, it just – now, that necessarily wasn't either of their doing. They were just caught in the middle of it, unfortunately, at least for Fenhouse for sure. But, yeah, a couple of early contenders having issues early in that race. So
two names you're not used to having issues either.
Correct.
Fenhouse and Majeski. Usually it's smooth sailing for them boys. Pick them off one at a time, and they'll bob and weave their way right to the front. But I don't want to wish this on anybody, but it is fun to see a little adversity for those guys. Two of the best in the business up here in the Midwest and super late model scene. So it was kind of fun to see that happen.
Oh,
for sure.
Kind of going on what we mentioned with trucks, the outside didn't hang on as long with the Midwest Tour as it did the Truck Series, but it would be there for 6 or 8, 10 laps. You could hang on there out there until you could get strung out enough to get to the bottom.
You needed to gain your ground on the restart
Yep.
out there.
For sure. There was enough there. You could hang on a little bit, but you were gonna have to shoot out and get yourself down in a hurry.
Yep.
But yeah, and then kind of we had like what was it? Kind of two early cautions, then just kind of settled out for a longer run.
Yeah.
Finally got to actually got a run. We got a comp caution, which was good. But another kind of incident takes out another, which would have been a contender that races. Austin Nason and Ty Fredrickson kind of got together there on the back stretch, and that was.
I missed what happened, honestly.
They kind of got together, and Nason ended up breaking right front suspension part, but he was made a few laps, but then they parked it. But they kind of just was one up, one down. I think they kind of actually hit wheel to wheel, and that's where I think the issue arose for Nason.
Sure.
So they just kind of Ferguson was kind of arcing down into three. Nason was kind of trying to keep himself from going in there so flat, and they just got together. So that unfortunately ended Nason's night. But I mean, ultimately, Kaler had the car to beat.
Yeah, he had a, it was an absolute rocket.
That
I think
he.
that's the best I've seen him run there in a while, but that's a very good track for him.
Yeah, that thing was lights out. I mean, we're going to have to get a late restart, and you were going to have to kind of jump him to even have a shot at it because that thing, when he took off, he was gone.
Yeah.
So that's a big payday for 10 grand for your first Midwest Tour win. So pretty cool deal for him. That was quite the run. I mean, he had the car to beat all night.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and he had a couple of different contenders too. Fredrickson got up there a little bit. Morrissey got up there. Somers gave him a run. Farrell gave him a run. It's just you had multiple guys that went to him and were challenging him, and just nobody could get by.
Yeah, that 17 was absolutely lights out. But good, it was a good race. Good race. A little more. We could have done without one or two more cautions, but that what it comes down to is a race like that for a big payday, there's going to be less given than taken.
Yep.
So, but no, I'll ultimately put on a good show.
The last right race for their Midwest Tour's rough stretch. Got a couple weeks off before their next one, and then a couple weeks before their last one.
Yep. Gives these guys kind of a chance to regroup a little bit here. They were on
Yep.
a hell of a stretch there.
Two things to point out too. One, Fenhouse, he got caught up with a lapper trying to go three wide, ends up parking his car for the day. And then Majeski, I think the car just started to get too beat up, and he pulled his car in as well. So Majeski took a bit of a hit on the point standings side of things. Then Fenhouse wasn't in the running for the points as it was, but.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Majeski was the defending winner of that race as well.
Yep.
Was gonna say I thought I'd be 6 feet in the ground before you would say Majeski pulls off at a super late model race. So
Yep.
yeah. He got turned around twice,
Yeah.
unfortunately. But
Boy's getting roughed up a little bit.
hey, yeah. Ultimately your top 10, Kaler, Morrissey, Fredrickson, Farrell, Summers, DeAngelis, Van der Geest, Stenjam, Kendall, and Lynch.
Good to see DeAngelis finally finish one.
Good to see him finish one and be there at the end.
Yep.
Wasn't going to have a shot to make a move to win it, but racing competitive late in the race.
Brought it home.
He's had some bad luck this year, that's for sure. So. Yeah, good race. That was good. The place was packed on Labor Day weekend, so it's good to see that the place was full to the gills. You good?
I think I'm good now. I had a moment.
Yeah, you're good.
Okay.
Now everything's linked up. Yeah, we're
Okay.
good.
Okay.
Yep, we're back. So, yeah, good show. Good race. So, that's the Midwest Tour at the Dells.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like we're from one big one to the next, the opening round of NASCAR playoffs.
No
Feel like.
shortage of storylines there.
Yeah.
No, sir. Where do you want to even start with this one?
Well, I mean, obviously it's the opening round of the playoffs. I would say it was a pretty even keel race up until I would say the biggest wreck of the race. It was only a two car deal. I mean,
Larson hit hard.
destroyed that car.
That thing, the tail kind of got out on him. He tried to save it, and that thing snapped and hit the fence. That was a wicked hit.
Yeah.
I'd be curious to know what the G-force was when that thing hit the wall.
And then he got hit by Briscoe afterwards.
Yep.
Everybody kind of forgets that he got smacked afterwards pretty hard.
Yeah.
Even Briscoe said that those pedals went through the floorboard.
Yeah.
That's a hard hit for both of them guys.
Do they ever say what it was that broke in Larson's car? Did it
I
was it
don't
a
think he
pedal?
broke. I think he just lost it.
I just
I
think
think
that
it just
thing
got a
broke.
little loose, overcorrected, and up the wall
Dude,
he went.
that was like a 90-degree turn at 200 miles an hour straight into a concrete wall.
That thing, when it snapped, it snapped.
Yeah.
That baby hit hard. But I mean, from there, we kind of got settled out for a while.
Yep.
I mean, we what did we go? Did we make it all the way to stage three without a caution?
Well, stage one would have been the other one. There was a caution in stage two for would have been actually, if my numbers are right, it would have been for the Blaney Truex and Busher wreck.
Oh, yeah.
It would have been for them three get kind of getting together.
Yeah, man,
Which
it would have
Truex's year just man. Just cannot catch a break.
been. No. No, it just needs a little good juju right now, is what he needs.
Dude, you know what it feels like, too? Felt like it feels exactly like Jimmy Johnson's final tour. Like
Yeah.
Jimmy Johnson announces this is his last year, and Jimmy didn't even make the playoffs, but everybody was just rooting like hell for him to make the playoffs and make a run. And just every week it felt like getting caught by some strays, then it's going well and something happens on pit road. Like it just like
Harvick was the same way.
it just feels like, yeah, every other week it's self-inflicted, then you get caught by a stray. Good run, self, and it sucks. Especially for these guys too that have been around the sport so long. It was like you said, yeah, I didn't even think about Harvick too, but it was Jimmy, and then it was Harvick, and now it's MTJ. It just is. It's tough to watch, to be honest.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, then you said too. Get strong out for a while. And then somebody who snuck his way in there with a Hail Mary win this year, Austin Cindric leads a good portion of the race there, and scores some good stage points, and had a good point day overall, which he needed it. But then it was kind of unique, like, or kind of weird. I thought he would have been content with the day that he had. And then his post-race interview, he didn't seem too satisfied. Like he wanted more. And I'm like,
Well, when you lead however many laps, or Suarez was kind of the same way, especially just for being up there. The fact that you were up there leading laps in the front, you had that feeling that one got away type of thing.
yeah.
And Cindric is good here in the spring too, given he was also that one that made that fantastic four wide pass last year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was bonkers.
So it's just the fact that you had the great car and just the way that some pit cycles worked out in strategy, you lost your spots and just couldn't get back through.
Track position ultimately kind of struggled for it was his big struggle there. He got shuffled on the strategies and he just kind of was in a tough spot buried in the field, just trying to bring the thing home at that point, just back there with the squirrels, as they would say. But I mean, really, he only kind of had a couple other cautions, really just single car spins with Gregson and Nemechek.
Well, and that's what a lot of people said too, was it was amazing that we did not have that big wreck that we were kind of waiting to happen. I mean, you had Gregson spin on his own, you had Nemechek spin on his own, and then you had that wreck there at the end. Ultimately, 30 of the 38 cars finished on lead lap.
Yeah, and they were talking about that with Hamlin, that Hamlin's radio, and then there's someone else that was up front that they were talking about making moves, and they were going to be a little bit more conservative because there were 30 cars on the lead lap that if you got caught, you could go from the top five to finishing 31st.
And that Hamlin surprised me. He was very conservative throughout that entire race. Usually he's an aggressor.
Especially on a super speedway or a restrictor
Super
plate.
speedway package.
Yeah, he's usually pretty good with that stuff, but he just either one just missed it really bad, or two just they were gonna kind of try to wait it out until the end.
I mean, that race clicked off fast too. That was the other thing.
Yeah, it was the pace was not light by any
No.
means. But yeah, I mean ultimately it comes down to that green white checker.
And Blaney, he had that damage earlier in the race, sitting back in the 30s because of the pit cycle, storms his way through up the field to give, which ultimately you had the two teammates. You had Suarez and Chastain on the outside, Logano and Blaney on the inside. And it was just a who could push harder.
Now, who was going to be able to get linked up sooner? Give him one
And
good shot
honestly,
at the
Logano
bottom.
was sitting good because he could put his hand out the window and nobody see him too.
Yeah, for sure. And especially a track like that, it's really nice to have your teammate behind you. Yeah, you might have a manufacturer car behind you, but coming through three and four, you don't know what that move will look like to try to win the race. But not that Blaney wouldn't do that either, but it's a little different when it's your true Penske teammate behind you.
You're going to see him in the meeting room on Monday.
Yep, for sure. Absolutely. So that the first car locked into the round of 12.
And it puts your teammate that, maybe didn't need help by any means, but could always afford a little bit of help, locks him in.
And I mean, ultimately, for those two, obviously Joey, the big deal is locking in, but
Blaney
Blaney
sits
came
second
home.
right now.
He came home with a really good day with the damage he had. You're looking at it going, he might struggle, but he found a way to find himself in a spot to bring it home with a good finish.
He's actually the playoffs points leader right now. So,
There you have it.
with number one seed in Larson wrecking, Hamlin not having a great race, Reddick had himself a decent enough race, but didn't necessarily get the stage points. I mean, you shook up the playoff standings here.
Is Denny below the cut line?
Give me a minute. I was just about to look that up.
I believe
No.
he is.
No, he is 2 points to the good.
Okay, well,
So,
he's in the good to a certain
correct.
degree.
So, I mean, all right. So, we talked about Larson, him having a bad day. He went from first seed in the playoffs to 15 points to the good right now. Hamlin's two to the good. Gibbs is a point to the good with Keselowski a point to the bad right now. Truex, again, with his bad run, he's sitting 19 down right now, and Briscoe's 21 bad. So.
So the crazy part is 21 to the bad. You only have two races, but you're not entirely out of it yet if someone has a bad day.
Correct. And Briscoe, if I remember correctly, is not a half bad road course racer.
No, he mentioned that they're kind of in a must win, but that was after he had racked out, so I don't know that he saw the full picture yet. But
Yeah.
it's not out of reason yet. Now, you get somebody down at the bottom or close to the cut line that wins, that shakes things up a ton too. But 21 points is it's enough, but it isn't insurmountable.
Anybody could
Right.
still win their way in.
Yep.
That bottom four is not spoken for yet.
Yep. Yeah, and the struggles just continue for Denny.
Yep.
From the penalty right before the playoffs to now this, it just guy's struggling.
He's that Bristol race is circled on his calendar right now.
Hey, are we bringing that tire back to Bristol, the one we ran the last time we were there?
I don't think we've
Please.
actually confirmed that.
Please bring that tire back.
Oh God, could you? Oh man.
In the playoffs, bring that baby back. But
Jesus. All right. Top 10. Logano obviously he gets the hell of a push by Blaney to win that one. Suarez, Chastain fell off there, going off of one and then ultimately into three. So Suarez lost his push to make any run for it. So your top 10 reads as Logano, Suarez, Blaney, Bell, who's going to be sneakily good, I got a feeling. Bowman, a guy who made some headlines unintentionally. Reddick, Bush almost stole one away.
Yep.
Elliott, Byron, and Cindric. For your top 10 in that one.
Yep, for sure. About a shakeup. What a first race of the playoffs.
So if you look at it out of your top 10, only one of them was not a playoff driver in Kyle Busch.
And that makes it all that more vital for those playoff drivers that did not finish in the top 10.
Yep.
So, she's gonna be
Crazy.
it's gonna be a wild first round. I have a feeling we're gonna eliminate potentially a really good car. I don't know which one, but I have an inkling that that's gonna
I
be
also
kind of.
have an inkling.
I just have a feeling somebody. I don't want to say it might be the 11.
I was about to say we could find out here in a moment when we're a week late on it, but we do got to make some final four picks here.
Yep.
Yeah. So that was, again, you guys covered it all. A wild week of the week one of the playoffs, or race one of the playoffs. So, again, we're just getting started. It's only week one. And so, like you said, this format might be the wildest format out there in sports. And all it takes is one and you're in. So, it's an uneasy feeling if you're above the line, and it's uneasy if you're below the line. And one race can change the trajectory of everything. So, it's going to be interesting to follow along here, but as we get into some other race winners from this past weekend,
Oh boy.
here we go, baby.
I'll say
Let's
it was
get
a
ready.
short week as far as
Yeah,
racing went.
like this one. USAC NOS Energy Midgets at Angel Park, Cannon Macintosh, Tundra Super Late Models at Golden Sands, Justin Mondyke, Castrol Flow Race Night in America at Eldora. None other than Jonathan Davenport gets it done. We go to a track special at Eldora. Gustin and Hudson O'Neill get it done. High Limit. Brad Sweet gets it done. USAC AMSOIL Sprint Cars were canceled. IRA Sprint Cars at Gondik Law was Danny Sams the third. High Limit, Port Royal, Aaron Reitzel, World Outlaw Sprint at Stockton Dirt Track. Buddy Kofoy gets the job done there. Xfinity Series at Atlanta, Austin Hill, IRA Sprint at IRA Sprint Cars at Cedar Lake. Danny Sams again. track special at Eldora for the 54th World. Talked about that was Bobby Pierce. High limit sprints at Port Royal was Rico Abreu.
He's coming off of a hell of a couple weeks.
Oh, yeah. World Outlaw Sprint Car at King Speedway was Macedo. And then
another USAC guy Amsden
Sprint Car.
Putting it together.
Yep. Correct. USAC Amsoil Sprint Cars at Texarkana 67 Speedway was Brady Bacon. And then, as we just touched on, Joey Logano gets the Cup Series win. So, yeah, couple guys getting hot there on that list. Rico to name one and Macedo to name another.
Win number 50 for Brady Bacon on the USAC Series.
The big old 50.
Yep.
This episode is dedicated to you, Brady Bacon. Episode 50. All right, let's get into some quick race previews, and then it sounds like we're getting into some big time stuff here at the end here. Some fantasy recaps and potentially some final four picks. So let's hit some quick race previews. Yeah, kick to one of you stones.
Cam?
I'll say you can go first.
Previews. Yeah, you got.
Yes, we're doing previews. Yep.
Yeah, that means neither of you guys
are foot flopping around a little bit.
Yeah. Stuff going everywhere. All right, race preview. I'll take the first two there. Hunt the Front Super Dirt Series back in action September 13th at Livonia. They're back in action for a single night, 10 grand to win. Kind of some news with the series. Putnam and Seawright are on probation from some situations at Sonoya and Duck River. Brandon Overton is still your point leader, and Ashton Winger won the only trip to this track a year ago. So he's in the points battle yet, so he's looking to make a little headway with that. Same with the Dirt Super Late Models. World of Outlaws, they get two nights of race, and they will head to Sonoya for the Billy Clanton Classic, and then the Talladega Short Track for the Alabama Gang 100.
Tire changer? Or you want me to hit this one?
You could hit the next two, and I'll hit the last one.
All right. Jesus. All right. I guess you're throwing me in here. Cars Tour heads to South Boston Speedway. Both late model stock and pros.
Deke McCaskill.
Yep.
Deke McCaskill and Nick Loden were your winners last year. So definitely tune into that race to see if those guys can repeat.
No, Carstewart is coming off of some pretty good races. They're not wrecking stuff anymore.
Yeah, they've decided they want to race instead of wreck.
So seasons are starting to wind down everywhere you go. So obviously it's a finishing races is important. We talked about it with the playoffs here with NASCAR. It's important to make sure you're finishing races.
For sure.
And then
the second one. The National Short Track Championships.
Okay. Right now. Didn't know what that meant, so I was going to go NSTC at Dells Raceway Park.
The National Short Track Championships, previously at Rockford Speedway.
Yeah, where you were at. So just talked about it. Dells is a fantastic little racetrack. Puts on fantastic racing there. CWRA, Big 8, Super Late Model, 602 Outlaws, Sportsman, Mid-Am, Hobby Stocks, and more. Grab a ticket and head on out to Dells. And grab a hot dog and enjoy some racing.
I'm glad the Dells picked the short track championships up.
Yeah,
I'm really glad they did.
Chicken tenders like a 13 out of 10. It's so good.
I tell you what, we forgot to mention this. So we were sitting at the Sauter Classic a couple weekends ago, and me and you were sitting there. I turned to you, I'm like, is today the day that we go and try out the taco truck?
No, Blaine. No, couldn't.
That's what you need to be. You need to be 100% to go into it. Not saying it's bad. It's just if you're going to try a new venture out, you need to be feeling good.
You got to be dialed in.
Yep.
So.
Last one here, and I want to touch this one because this is championship race NTT IndyCar. This is the final race of their year at Nashville Super Speedway. They were supposed to be running the road course earlier this year, but due to some logistical stuff that I can't remember at the moment, they had to move it to the oval. So it's the first time that they raced on the oval in, since 2008. In the past 3 years have been on the streets. Alex Palou leads the point standings by 33 points. Basically needs to finish ninth or better to win his third championship in 4 years. For Power to have any chance, he needs to finish on the podium. There's an alternate compound being introduced here at Nashville, so it'll give teams a little extra strategy piece going into that one. So be sure to tune into the broadcast. 11:50 Eastern time is when the broadcast goes live on Sunday. Other races on the schedule. Boy, howdy, are there a ton of them here. With Soto Late Models, they race at I-94 EMR for tentatively their last race of the season. Castrol Floor Racing, they are back in the schedule for the Tar Heel 53 for 20,000 to win. Power I are at Lucas Oil. World Outlaws are at Bakersfield. They continue their West Coast swing. XR Super Series is at Jackson County Speedway. High Limit, they're at Lernerville. Lernerville is putting out some good races. They got a couple of races there for the Commonwealth Clash. The Extreme Outlaws and Power I Midgets are going to have a couple of dual races coming up, first at Southern Illinois Raceway, and then they go to Highland Speedway. The Arkham Menards series is also going to join the NASCAR series at Watkins Glen. IRA Sprint Cars at I-4 at 144 Speedway, 141. My bad. World Outlaws are then go to Merced Speedway for the Yosemite Showdown. The Wheel and Modified series are at Riverhead Raceway. We touched on the Cars Tour at South Boston. The ASA Stars National Tour and the Super Series are also in action this weekend for a joint race. They're at Toledo Speedway for the Glass City 200. Jesse Love was your winner there last year. Entries continue to roll in with a surprise one from Kendrick Cryer of the Midwest.
Yep, out of Wisconsin Dells.
Yep. Formula One is racing in Baku this weekend. And then, yeah, we talked about the Cup Series. They're going to be racing at Watkins Glen this weekend with a guest appearance by Juan Pablo Montoya.
Yep.
He's going to be racing this weekend in the 50 car. So that touches on a little bit of races this weekend. Fantasy, couple of weekends since we've touched on this. So I was your regular season champion this year in the point standings, and I continue my points lead going into the playoffs along with the point standings. I'm going to just cover the playoff standings as that's kind of the focus of it now. So first week here, I got the lead at 210 points. Gasman's Girls at 187. Kellen, you are at 168. Dietz is at 161. Cam, you are at 140. Sophie's Pit Picks are at 83. And then Kurt Busch stands at 67. So for those that are maybe playing along or are at home playing on their own league, you get five picks for each driver out of these 10 races. So use
Yep.
them wisely. Keep in
Yep.
mind stage points too.
Sure.
So. We did not do any race picks last week, so our rolling race standings are still the same. I will carry over the race picks as well from the previous week. So I get first pick, Kellen gets second pick, and Cam, you get third pick. Oh, and I don't know who the hell I want to pick. I was on the clock for the longest time, and I don't know who I want. Give me Byron.
Oh, defending race winner. Okay.
See the extent of his research.
I'm gonna do something kind of crazy here. Give me the 54, Ty Gibbs.
Know, I don't mind that pick.
He's gonna
That's
shake
not
it.
a bad pick.
Give me the 54.
Yep.
Think the nine at Chase Elliott.
Not a bad pick as well.
Yeah.
All right. Now I think to the most important part, and again, we're a week late at this, but nonetheless, We need to make championship four and championship picks here. So, recap last year. The only driver that any of us got right into the playoffs last year, actually, there was two of us. We all picked Byron into the championship four last year, and two of us picked Larson. Or no, sorry, only. Yeah, two of us picked Larson. Kellen and Cam picked Larson in the playoffs. So it was the only two that got right, and none of us got the champion right. So, I made the bold prediction at the beginning of the year that Byron would win the championship. I'm going to stick to my gun on that. So that is one of my championship four and my champion. So play with that as you see fit.
Oh boy, just picked his champ instead of just like, oh, who's going to be in the final four?
I still got to figure out my other three here.
I'm gonna piece together my final four, and my last one will be my champ.
Okay.
I'm gonna go ahead and say that the 2311 car of Tyler Reddick finds his way into the final four.
All right. Are we just
I
doing
think,
this one by one here, or what are we doing?
yeah, go one at a
All
time.
right, so I got Byron, so Cam, you're up next.
Can I throw two predictions out there?
Go ahead.
So, I mean, it is, you just have to do it. I'm putting the five through to the final four.
Okay.
Okay.
And I'm going to hedge. Our tire changers prediction, and I'm going to say William Byron doesn't even make the final four this year.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So, I
It'll
guess
be
Kellen, if you want
eliminated.
to go for another pick, go for it.
Christopher Bell.
I am also going to go Reddick in the playoffs. So, Cam, you're up next.
I'm on Reddick as well.
Okay, so we all got our first unanimous pick. Kellen, you're up next. Unless you want me to go next, because I got one in mind.
I'm
You too.
going to go ahead and say the 24 of William Byron.
I am going to put Bell in my playoffs as well. Cam, you're up now.
You're probably going to splurge, but I'll go ahead and put the 12 back in the final four.
All right. Cam or Kellen, you get your final pick. Who you said is going to be your champion?
Oh, I didn't know I was picking champion. I was just putting four in, and then
No,
I'll
that's
tell
what you, yeah, you're gonna pick a champion here eventually.
you. Okay, got it.
Nope, Kellen's final, he said his final pick was gonna be his champion. You're rethinking this now, aren't you?
No, I got two or three drivers that I just. He's gonna. Logano. Logano.
You know, the funny thing is, I saw something earlier today that Logano has been in the playoff every other year and every even year since this elimination format has happened. He has been in the playoff or the championship four, I should say.
22. Cam?
With that, I'm going with Logano.
Yep.
Both of you guys are picking Logano as your champ?
No. Van Grol took Byron right away.
I
He called
took Byron.
him
Kellen's
in.
got Logano as his champ. You still get a Final Four pick and a champion pick.
I'm going to go with I think it's unanimous as well. I'm going to put Christopher Bell back in there as well.
Okay. And who is your champion?
I'm just going to say it and do it again. He's going to double down and he's riding this roller coaster, but the five of Kyle Larson.
All right. So, in review and summation, me and Kellen have the same final four in Byron, Reddick, Bell, and Logano. Kellen took Logano as the champion. I took Byron as the champion. Cam has Larson, Reddick, Blaney, and Bell as his final four, and he took Larson as his champion.
Interesting. I went too stereotypical last year. I picked all the heavy favorites. I can't do that again. So I did
Yep.
something this year. There's too much parity, and some of these guys are way too deep.
I hate to leave Blaney out, but I can't. I just, it's so hard to go back to back.
Correct.
It is so hard.
Correct.
He's sitting at the top of the point standings right now.
He is, but again, it is so hard to go back to back.
But he's got some tracks coming up that'll fit right in his wheelhouse.
Lot of unknowns, though, and a lot of it could not be his own doing.
Exactly. He
So,
had a very strong playoff run, but again, you gotta, it's hard to double down like that.
for sure. Well,
Well,
on that banger of a note,
wraps up episode number 50. And as we mentioned, kind of an ode as we'll, all three of us are here. We just wrapped up year one on our YouTube channel, kind of year one, trying to figure this thing out. So a year on the podcast, a year on all the content. So for anybody that listens, watches, subscribes, likes our content, thank you very much. We appreciate all of the support that we have, and can't say we have a specific direction of where exactly we're going with this, but one thing is for sure, we're just going to keep going. And yeah, you never know what these three stones will come up with ideas. So again, thanks to anybody that watches, comments, subscribes, likes. We appreciate you. And 1 year down and forever to go. So yeah, that wraps up episode 50. A lot of great racing this past weekend, and a lot of great racing coming up. So as the racing season winds down, head out to your local short track if you can. Get a racing subscription and sit back and enjoy some great racing. So as always, thank you for your support. Like, comment, subscribe, and we'll see y'all next week for episode number 51.